Welcome back to Sports Day. It's all for Kia with Australia's best seven-year factory warranty and Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy. We thought we'd touch base with a man who knows a lot about how athletes have been dealing with the last difficult period of time. It's been difficult for everyone across the world, but athletes in isolation always brings up different talking points. Hugh Van Kylenberg is from the Resilience Project, and he joins us on Sports Day. Hugh, appreciate your time.
Pleasure, Sam. Thanks for having me.
So, Hugh, you've worked with plenty of AFL clubs and NRL teams as well. I guess one of the most significant issues being around the world, really, not just in sport, has been around, you know, mental health and making sure you look after yourself before looking after anyone else. How difficult do you think it's been for people in isolation and particularly those in the sporting landscape?
I think it's been really hard, especially initially getting your head around, I mean, this is for all of us, but just getting your head around, the world changing so quickly. But I think a lot of the athletes I've been working with, once they, one of the things we talk about a lot is practicing gratitude, paying attention to what you've got. Now, I think if you're someone who has been focusing on the people you can't see, the places you can't go and the things that you can't do, it has been quite hard to experience, you know, happiness and hope and all that kind of stuff. But a lot of the athletes I've been working with, we've been working very hard on just paying attention on the things that you can still do, the people you can still see, the places you can still go. And when you pay attention to that, it does make it a lot easier to remain really positive and optimistic in a really tough time.
So that word gratitude, Hugh, I think is a really interesting one, because I reckon there are constant reminders of, you know, making sure that you are grateful for what you do have instead of concentrating on what you don't have. But it's one of those things that I reckon if you don't concentrate on it, it can go in one ear and out the other. How can we remind ourselves to practice gratitude?
Well, it's a bit of a discipline, really. Like, if you want to be, I remember hearing Justin Martin say this at a conference that he spoke at, but he said, if you want to be good at something, you have to practice it. And he said, gratitude's no different. Dustin's been a great example of someone who has practiced gratitude every single day. So I think it's over 2,000 days now. It's been quite a while. It's been a few years. But he said, if you want to be good at something, you've got to practice it. Just like physical health, if you want to be fit, you know you've got to put the work in. But the great thing about practicing gratitude is that it only takes you 2 minutes every night before you go to bed. You just write in a little journal next to you what went well for you, or write on the shower screen door, or discuss it over dinner with your family what went well for you that day. If you come up with three things, you actually start to physically change your brain and you become someone who starts scanning the world for the positives. And the research says the more positive emotion you experience, then the more resilient you actually become. So that's really important at a time like this, to experience as much positive emotion as possible.
Okay, it's really interesting. I have to get the journal out before I go to bed. What else other than gratitude do you need to practice, do you
think? Yeah. Well, there's a few. I mean, the other thing I'll say on gratitude very quickly is it gives you perspective as well. Like, in 1918, the world went through a really similar thing. Like, with the Spanish flu, the world went into, we all went into isolation, into lockdown. I cannot imagine how hard that would have been in 1918.
Like,
No one's, I mean, we can still see our loved ones. We can still FaceTime them. We can still Skype them. We can still have conversations, and that wasn't happening in 1918. We can all, you know, we've got Netflix, we're binge watching The Last Dance, whatever it is, you know, whatever you're watching. Like, we've still got, there's so much we can still do, despite how hard it, you know, it is at times. So gratitude allows us that. The other thing is we've talked about a lot, especially with our elite athletes, and I read an article on the weekend on The Age about this with the Collingwood boys, but empathy is a big thing right now, which is when you sort of, I suppose you put yourself in someone else's shoes, and that makes you a much kinder person. The neuroscience says if you do something nice to someone else, your brain releases a hormone, which actually just makes you feel happy, oxytocin. So I'm not talking about outrageous acts of kindness. It was Jordan Rufford in the paper that I was speaking about on the weekend. He's shouting people coffees and he's doing little things like that. And he says it's making him feel really happy at a time where we need to experience as much kind of happiness as possible. So doing things for other people is really, really massive. I remember Billy Slater back in his second last NRL season, when he thought it potentially could be his last, he did his shoulder round two, round three, and he's out for the whole year. So what he did was he decided to, every Saturday when he was going to be playing football, he decided to do a really significant random act of kindness for someone. And he said that actual act, he said, when we played footy, he said, I'm buzzing for a couple of days after it, but doing a random act of kindness for a stranger, like a small thing, he said, honestly, mate, it just gave me the same buzz. In fact, the buzz lasted a little bit longer, which I think is a really nice, like, reminder. I remember a neurosurgeon, like literally a brain surgeon, saying to me once, he said, mate, we always have access to joy and happiness, and it comes through doing things for other people. And he said that before coronavirus. So I think that's a really good reminder at a time like this. And the third one, Sam, that we talk about is mindfulness. And it's a bit of a buzzword at the moment, but it's really important, because mindfulness is just the ability to stay calm and the ability to stay present. And we're not calm right now. Like the most common mental illness in Australia is anxiety, or anxiety disorder. So we're not calm and we're also not present. We spend so much time thinking about what the world's going to look like in a month or what the world's going to look like in 6 months' time. Mm. The last episode of The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan's biographer said his super skill, like he couldn't jump higher than anyone else, which you could probably argue, but he said he wasn't a better shooter than anyone else. His skill was just so unbelievably present. He was so in the moment. Wherever he was there. And so, a lot of the athletes we're working with right now, it's just about getting the focus on right now, because, hey, you can control right now. You can't control what's going to happen in a month's time, in 6 weeks' time. You can't control when the season's going to restart. The more time you spend worrying about that, the more anxious you're going to become. Pay attention to what's happening right now. And that's a really easy way to stay motivated, is to remember that you have control over right now. And that's all you've got control over is right now. And the athletes, according to The Last Dance, Michael Jordan, his biographer, thinks he was the best in the world because he was so good at paying attention to right now.
I'm fascinated in the psychological space, particularly when it comes to sport. I think where a lot of people hit the wall with it, Hugh, when they're listening to people like you, is that a lot of people demand of themselves and from others specifics. You know, if they don't get specific examples, how can I do it? So I'd really like to dig into that part of empathy, because I find that so fascinating with Billy Slater talking about buzzing after doing a random act of kindness. But I just wonder whether we can give some examples to our listeners about, we're not all Billy Slater, are we? But what are the little things that we can do for random other people to get that buzz, to turn on that positivity?
Yeah. That's such a great question, because a lot of the work we do with the Resilience Project is like, sure, it's great to have gratitude, empathy, mindfulness, but if you're not giving people like really practical and really easy things they can do every day, it's kind of exactly like you said, you just go, I can't be stuck with this. It sounds like it works, but... So I'll give you some really nice examples. So just on what you said about Billy Slater, Billy said, mate, a lot of the time people had no idea who I was. So it was like anyone doing it. He said, in Melbourne, mate, not everyone knows who I am.
Yeah.
So there was a picture that went up online. Someone took a photo of him. He was going for a walk through the city on game day in Sydney, and he saw a couple of people sitting down a laneway, a couple of homeless people. So he went to the supermarket and he bought them breakfast, and he went to give it to him. He said, I might as well sit down with him. And he sat with him for like an hour, and he said, mate, I was buzzing for a month after that. So it's actually looking out for opportunities to be there for other people. But I will give you a practical thing right now, just for the everyday person. So what I'm recommending throughout this really tough time in our lives is write down a list of 10 people. Get a notepad out or write it in your phone, the notes in the notes section. 10 names, so 10 people that you've been thinking about a lot throughout this really difficult period. So, for example, from my life, I put my mum down because, number one, mum, she's had shingles and she's in isolation before coronavirus. We've had, a child, my brother's had a child since we've been in isolation. She hasn't got to meet her grandkids probably, and she's struggling. So she's number one. Number two, my dad, by virtue of his age, he's quite vulnerable, so I'm a bit worried about him. One of my best mates from school, spent all his life savings last year buying into a business, and that business has just recently closed its doors and no longer exists. So he spent his, he's got three kids under the age of seven, a mortgage, and he doesn't have a cent to his name. So he's on my list.
Yep.
And then I started writing down a list of other people, a couple of sports people I know who are doing it really tough, and people, sports coaches have lost their jobs, and then some mates of mine who I've just been missing a lot. So I've written a list of 10 people, right? Anyone can do this, 10 people. And then every day when you get up, when you're having a coffee or you're having your breakfast, choose someone off the list and do something for them during the day. And I'm not talking about something massive, right? So to my parents, I said, I'm doing your shopping this week, and I did all the grocery shopping and drove it to them. They live about an hour away. So my mate who's lost his job, no longer lost his livelihood, I wrote him a letter. It was a short letter about the reasons I know he's going to be okay. It took me 15 minutes to write it. And incidentally, at the end of the day, when I was writing down stuff that went well for me, I realised it was actually when I was doing my gratitude stuff, the things that went well, it was when I was doing things for other people.
Yeah.
What are examples? So give more people examples. It could be simply writing a text message to someone, just saying, hey, I'm thinking of you. Hope you're going okay. I can't wait to catch up with you for a beer when we get through this. Like, that is a small thing, but it still has an impact for both the people involved, you and the person who receives the messages. So, again, I'm not talking about donating heaps of money. It could be our neighbours living down the street. I got my three-year-old son he did a drawing for the kids down the road and we dropped it off in the letterbox. It's little things, but just tick someone off your list every day and you watch what happens to you. It is amazing how much better you feel, and it gives you something to look forward to throughout the day as well. And that's something we are battling for at the moment, is a bit of, like, you know, if we're going to whinge and moan about coronavirus, we may as well start picking out silver linings as well. And if you've got things to look forward to in your day, they're your silver linings, and we just got to take them at the moment.
Hugh, I think this is fascinating stuff, and I love the example, you know, that you talked about with Dustin Martin, that if you want to be physically good at something, you've got to practice it. It's the exact same in the mental and the emotional space. You have a book as well. What's it called? Where can we find it?
So the book's called The Resilience Project, Finding Happiness Through Gratitude, Empathy and Mindfulness. And it's been, I wrote it last year. It was really about the things you can do to stay happy, especially when you're really challenged. So I accidentally chose a really good time to write that book.
You did.
And it's been, apparently I've had some nice feedback on it, which is really, really good. I mean, all this stuff, I should mention the Port Adelaide Footy Club, who the second this happened, I remember being in the club, I do a lot of stuff for them, and I was in at the club the day before the AFL just said, nah, this is everything, we're shutting everything down.
Yep.
And I remember getting a phone call from Chris Davies, head of football, and he said, mate, what can we do for the boys? And they were so good in sending out a whole lot of challenges along this thing to make sure. They just said, look, you know, the financial stuff is obviously quite stressing for the whole club, but let's just look after their mental health first and foremost. And they did an incredible job providing this stuff to the players. So, I'm just talking up Port Adelaide because I work with them, but I know a lot of the clubs have been doing some incredible work across this space, which is really fantastic to see.
Yeah, it is, because ultimately our professional athletes are just people like you and I, Hugh, and they have feelings and they feel anxious and they feel down and they feel sad at different stages as all people in society. Hugh, we could talk for hours about this. I think it's such a fascinating space. I'd love to get you on again, and looking forward to going down to the local bookshop and grabbing a copy of The Resilience Project. Thanks so much for giving us some of your time.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you, Sam.
Hugh Van Kylenberg there, who is the author of The Resilience Project. Make sure you go and buy one of those, because happiness is something that we can all work more on. This is Sports Day for Wilson Homes. Chat with one of their friendly staff today about personalising a home design to talk about your individual lifestyle. Hey, we've been talking about mindfulness. Jared and I have also been talking a lot the last few weeks about DIY, and we have a special makeover project to get you excited about. Our friends at Beaumont Tiles have come on board. We're going to give away two bathroom makeovers. They're valued at $10,000 each. All you have to do is head to iCanWin.com.au, upload a picture of your ugly bathroom at the moment it needs a makeover, and tell us why and what your Beaumont style is. This has been Sports Day. Jared and I will be back from 6 o'clock tomorrow.